It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, our next guest is Mr. Lindsey Thomas. Now, Lindsey is with QDMA, Quality Deer Management Association. I know, I'm going to guess that many of you that listen are you're going to be hunters. You've probably heard of QDMA, but I had a lot of questions that I asked Lindsey about it, and I've learned a lot more. So that's our goal in this little segment today, is to inform you a little bit more, let you learn a little bit more about QDMA. If you're a deer hunter, it's something that I think is pretty vital for you to know. They have some good information. I know years back I've worked with QDMA. By work with, I mean in the media. I'd help them get the word out on different meetings and get-togethers that they've had, mostly up in North Texas. But I still have a lot more to learn, but I do know it's an awesome organization. Lindsey, thank you, buddy, for spending some time and enlightening all of us on, you know, QDMA.
Thank you for having me, Luke. It's an honor.
Yes, sir. Well, I know there's a, you know, deer season is kicking off like right now, bow season, not only in Texas, but all over the country, a lot of states. Deer are at the forefront, hunting deer is at the forefront of a lot of our minds right now. Tell us a little bit about QDMA, roughly when it, how it was conceived and when it, you know, when it really got rolling.
Well, Texas plays a big role in where QDMA comes from, Luke. We're 32 years old. We're a nonprofit wildlife conservation organization, like many of the other groups that your listeners are familiar with. You know, the National Wild Turkey Federation, Ducks Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk, groups like that. But we're a whitetail-focused group. Joe Hamilton of South Carolina created the QDMA in 1988. But a lot of it came from his good friend, or ideas came from his good friend Al Brothers of Texas. And Joe had gotten to know Al and spent a lot of times out there with him. And as you know, in the South, really Texas is sort of the birthplace of ideas about wise deer herd management. And Al was learning about that and writing about it. You know, he wrote his famous book, Producing Quality Whitetails, and anyway, Joe got to know Al, and Joe realized throughout the South and many other parts of the country, what he was seeing was hunters were mismanaging deer herds. We had come from a day where, you know, restoring deer was the big goal, and that meant don't ever shoot a doe, and usually shoot the first legal buck that comes by, which usually was a yearling. And so what Joe was seeing was we were putting a lot of pressure on yearling bucks across the country, and no pressure on does. Well, we had reached the point where that model was still useful. Deer populations were becoming too dense in most areas because no one was taking does, but there were almost no bucks out there with any age on them because everyone was shooting the first yearling that came along. And that's a problem from a deer herd health standpoint as well as from a hunting standpoint. A hunter could sit out there and see lots of deer but no bucks and rarely see any rut activity. Rarely see the behaviors you see in a normal functioning deer population, and there's deer health issues with that as well. So Joe set out to form this organization to educate hunters about the things he was learning from Al Brothers in Texas and others, basically to help hunters understand how to make the choices with your trigger that produce a healthy deer population, taking the right number of does when you need to, and if you'd like to, protecting a few young bucks so that they get into older age classes and you begin to see more of the behaviors and exciting things we see in the woods when you have some adult bucks in the population.
You know, Lindsey, back in probably, the early 90s, I have a buddy that owns what is a piece of outdoor heaven. It's now, I think, about 7,500 acres down on the Trinity River, down below Dallas, probably 100 miles maybe, but it's just rich bottom land, and it's always been a viable deer herd. I remember that he was told, the owner, my friend, was told to remove something like somewhere around 100 does that season when he first started really managing, and I remember he said, I don't know, Luke. We're going to follow the science, and I'm going to do exactly what the biologists tell me. And now, honestly, that deer herd on that place is close to a it's been a 2-to-1 buck doe ratio for a while, but it's close to a 1-to-1 buck doe ratio right now. And you know, I mean, I've seen this happen in several instances, Lindsay, where management really did pay off. But in this case, I remember back in those days, we'd see bucks, and you know, nice bucks, but 3.5-year-old bucks maybe maximum, you know. But now there's some 170 class deer coming off free range coming off that place. So the management that is learned through places like your organization, you know, QDMA, it really helps, doesn't it?
It does, and you can do it anywhere. You know, you don't have to be in Texas or the Midwest or places where people think of when they think of big bucks. You know, we do quality deer management on my family's land in coastal Georgia, which is, you know, not great deer habitat when you compare it to the rest of the country. But we produce some of the best hunting, the most enjoyable hunting we can have right there through some basic practices like QDMA teaches. So it's something any hunter can do. It's something that can be done on public land as well, and there are great examples of that across the country where some basic quality deer management ideas have been instituted on public lands and have improved the hunting. You know, it's not about locking people down and saying you can't shoot, but, you know, the oldest deer out there. It is simply there are, you know, levels of moderation that you can try in quality deer management. And it doesn't always require that you need to shoot some does. In many places, people may not have enough deer, or they may have the right number of deer for the habitat that's out there, and they may not need to take many does. And so, yeah, it's a situation, it's a philosophy that's applicable to any deer hunter wherever they are, and, you know, it's a toolbox, and any hunter can use some of the tools in the box sometimes, and others may need all of them, but it's very flexible and useful to almost any deer hunter in North America.
Yeah, yes, you bet it is. Very interesting. I want to make sure, Lindsay, and connect everyone with QDMA. I know that I was looking on the website, and we want to lead folks to this website too, but there's several, I don't know if you call them local clubs, or I mean, it's all the same organization, but local chapters, I guess we should say, throughout much of Texas. I think in Plano, Texas, if I'm not mistaken, there's a headquarters there.
No, we don't have any. Our national headquarters is here in Georgia, and we don't have any other offices around the country. But what we have are branches, and these are local groups of volunteer members. That may be what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have, you know, branches just like Turkey Federation and other groups have chapters. We call ours branches, and they are local groups of member volunteers in communities who get together to do education for deer hunters in their communities and to raise funds for conservation, both nationally and locally. Because that's the other thing we do, more than just a hunter education group. You know, over the years, as the organization has evolved, we've come to realize that there are threats and issues facing whitetail deer in North America that need to be addressed, whether it is declining hunter number, declining habitat quality, threats like chronic wasting disease, things like this that need to be addressed. And so we've, over the years, added more and more conservation work as part of what we do. And so our grassroots volunteers help raise money for that. They also raise money that they institute at the local level. So you can go to qdma.com, that's our website, and get to know more about us, but also search by state and find local branches of our member volunteers and get in touch with them through the website so that you can find out more about what they're doing locally and how to get involved.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about or referencing, I believe, is the I didn't know the name of it, but I know there was a branch, I guess we'll call it a branch, and I would assume, like any other conservation, Ducks Unlimited or whatever, there's no office there, but there's a group, and they probably, I'm going to guess they have, you know, regular meetings and maybe fundraisers locally, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know. And I noticed many more, too, a lot in Panola County down in deeper East Texas. And And I would, you know, I'm sure there's quite a few in Texas that where most folks are, most of our friends are listening from Amarillo all the way down to the Louisiana border, you know, on the different stations. But it's I want to make sure everybody can, they can go to the website and then they can seek out, say they live in Tyler, Texas or wherever, they can locate a branch close by, right?
Yes, they can. And if there's not one close by, of course, we, if you're interested in starting one, we'd love to work with you to help you do that. It's not difficult to do. You know, there's not a lot of requirements. You know, in this year, it used to be that we were a group that did a lot of banquets. You know, the old model of conservation fundraising that many groups use is to hold the sportsman's banquet and raise funds. Obviously, this year, we have not been able to do that due to the pandemic. And that's it's been difficult for the organization, like a lot of nonprofits. But we've overcome that and learned how to raise funds online. And that's also going to affect the model that goes for our branches and how they raise money locally. We're not going to require them to hold a banquet anymore. If they'd like to hold a banquet, certainly they can. But it's not a requirement, and we're going to be looking at more creative and diversified ways that groups of local volunteers can raise funds locally. So it's more flexible now. We allow more creativity and idea-driven fundraising at the local level. So, yeah, if you don't have a branch near you, look at starting one. Get in touch with us. We'd love to help you get that done.
Awesome. That's awesome. And then as far as like a headquarters for meetings, that could be anywhere, couldn't it? It could be just whatever's convenient or available locally. It doesn't necessarily have to be a, quote, headquarters or an office somewhere, right?
Correct. We have groups that, you know, get together and get pizza at a local restaurant as a meeting, or hold, you know, outdoor educational events at different members' properties, have folks come out and hear a speaker, wherever you can have a community gathering, whether it's at a public location like a restaurant or a private property or whatever that might be, a local WMA, all kinds of gatherings and events are held by our branches.
Well, I tell you, I've learned a lot about QDMA, and I, like I said, mentioned in the beginning, in the past years, I've helped get the word out, if you will, through my radio shows and through my outdoor column on some startup or when they're trying to organize. And I remember one in Kaufman, Texas. Gosh, this has probably been 10 years ago. A group that was getting organized there that I worked with, but it's an awesome, you know, the whole concept. And then if you want to learn, say you want to learn about food plots or any facet of managing deer, QDMA they have the resources and they can get the information to you. You can, right?
Yes, we cover, you know, everything deer related, start to finish. Whether it is you want to learn more about the biology of the animal, how it sees and hears and survives, what it eats, so that you can be a more effective deer hunter, or whether you'd like to, you know, manage its habitat, learn how to manage trees and plants and planted crops like food plots to improve nutrition and cover for deer. The whole works.
Yep, we cover everything, all of that. Everything deer. They are telling me, Lindsay, that we are out of time for this segment here, but I do want to get you back and talk. Another interesting topic is talking about restocking programs of past decades. That fascinates me, and I know you're privy to some information on that, not only in Texas, but across the country. So we will get you back, Lindsay, and I really do appreciate you spending the time with us today and look forward to our next visit.
Thank you for having me, Luke.
Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smoke In Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas-raised hunting products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, The Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.